Now, when we think of wisdom, I guess it's fair to say that wisdom is one of the most valuable things that we can seek in this life. Every day we make choices that shape and affect our lives, and certainly affect those around us. Which way should we go? Should we choose this or should we choose that? Well, which way is the way to life? Which way is the path to destruction? Now, throughout history, people have sought wisdom through various ways, through knowledge and philosophy and, well, of course, religion, through experience, while others have used wealth, power, and fame, mistakenly taking these things as ways of understanding. Yet these things alone cannot prevent us from making mistakes, acting unjustly, or harming those around us. They can't. Consider Adam and Eve in the garden. You remember what happened to them? Well, Satan came along and he offered some wisdom to Adam and Eve. But instead of gaining understanding, what is it that they received? Ruin. Ruin by listening to Satan. Now, this story reminds us that seeking wisdom in the wrong way and from the wrong sources can have disastrous consequences for us. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been encouraged to follow a certain pathway that sounded to you like quite a wise thing to do, only to discover that it was harmful? Has it ever happened to you? Well, it's happened to me. Now, in a world filled with deception, quick fixes, true wisdom is essential. It shapes character, it guides decisions, it equips us for life and all the challenges that life brings. Wisdom guards us from foolishness. It helps us to foster a meaningful life. And it certainly not only blesses us, but it blesses those around us when we are wise. The real question is therefore not, do we need wisdom? We all do. The question is really, where are we looking for that wisdom? And to what lengths are we prepared to go to find it? When Solomon became king in Israel, he recognized his own limitations and he asked God for wisdom to rule his people Israel. God blessed him with extraordinary understanding, the Bible tells us, enabling him to make wise and just decisions. Like, for example, the case for which he became so famous, the two women that sought justice over their two babies. Do you remember that? Well, 1 Kings chapter 3. There were two mothers, and they both claimed that one living baby was theirs and a baby that died was not. Now, by proposing the unthinkable, to divide the baby in half and give each mother half a baby, he exposed the heart of the actual mother, didn't he? And so Solomon displayed wisdom that astonished the entire nation of Israel. His wisdom was unparalleled. The Bible says it was greater than the wisdom of the men of the East and the sages of Egypt. It became widely known. People came from near and far to hear Solomon's judgments and to learn from his insight. 1 Kings tells us that Solomon wrote over 3,000 proverbs and over 1,000 songs. Solomon's wisdom wasn't merely human cleverness. It was God-given, inspired, and life-changing wisdom. Through Solomon, God compiled truths that are timeless. Based on diverse experiences and observations, forming what we now have in the Bible, the book of Proverbs. We read in Proverbs 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. Now these Proverbs, as the title suggests, were Solomon's Proverbs, written over 3,000 years ago, when God moved him to search out, set in order, and write down timeless proverbs. Children, what is a proverb? We don't have many children here tonight, so I can throw the question open. Everyone, what is a proverb? Well, it is a short and a easy to remember saying that teaches us something that is true. A proverb can be a story. It can be a riddle. It can even be a saying. Some proverbs are given to us in the form of comparisons. Like the famous proverb in chapter 11, verse 22, which says that beauty without discretion is like what? Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Wow, that's quite powerful. Or Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. The Proverbs address many important life issues, including trusting God, guarding our hearts, sexual purity, the blessings of righteousness and the dangers of wickedness, justice and integrity, counseling, parenting, decision making, and the list goes on. Now, Lord willing, we will come to these as we travel through the series. Also, there are lots of common sense wisdom proverbs. Maybe you've heard some of the better known ones, like Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Or Proverbs 14, verse 23. In toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Or Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Isn't that true? Or Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then one of my favorites, and it's really a prickly pear proverb. Proverb 26, verses 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you become like him. And then the next verse, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. What a head scratcher. Well, these are common sense proverbs, many of them, because they are so practical, wise, and they work well in real life. God gave us the book of Proverbs, and it is filled with heavenly wisdom. Now, before we look at the purpose of the Proverbs, let us think of a working definition of wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom is a God-given ability to know the truth and how to act rightly in accordance with the truth. Let me say that again. Wisdom is the God-given ability to know the truth and to know how to act in accordance with the truth. Well, keep that in mind as we soldier through the book of Proverbs. So then, let's think of the purpose of the Proverbs. Now, the purpose of this divinely inspired collection of wisdom words are designed to help us. Of course they are. Verse 2 tells us that the Proverbs help us to gain wisdom and instruction, to help us to know how to think and how to act in varied and differing situations. Also, verse 2, Proverbs help us to develop the all-important discernment. That is to recognize the truth. That is to understand insight, to make sound judgments. Think of an antique expert or an experienced bank teller. They learn the skill to distinguish between what is genuine and what is counterfeit. Well, so the Proverbs will train believers to distinguish between good and evil. And according to verse 3, the Proverbs will train us to behave wisely, righteously, justly, and fairly. Wow, if we are able to do that, my, what a revolution it would be in our lives. And then verses 4 and 5, the Proverbs give discretion to the simple and it trains the young. They help those who lack experience. Children and young people, and those who are new to the faith, the Proverbs will help you to build knowledge of the truth and to develop your experience and even early in life. But they also guide the wise and the learned. The Proverbs has something for everyone. And then finally, verse 6. The Proverbs help us to interpret the deeper truths in life. Those riddles. It's designed to make us think. The Proverbs will get under our skins, as it were, to help us to shape a reflective heart that seeks godly insight. In short, the Proverbs are given to train our minds, to direct our hearts, to guide our lives so we can make wise decisions. Take note, however, for insight, understanding, and discernment to take root in our lives, we have to start at the beginning. So let us think about the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom begins with a certain attitude. It begins with a specific posture of our hearts. True wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord. That's what Proverbs 1 verse 7 says. Now, when we think of the fear of the Lord, we're not thinking of being constantly fearful or frightened. No, that's not what is meant. Rather, the fear of the Lord is to have a deep reverence, respect for God, to stand in awe knowing who He is, and to humbly trust in Him, the fear of God. It is the foundation of knowledge and understanding. It is life itself. Scripture makes this very clear. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Psalm 33, verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the Lord's steadfast love on those who fear Him. Without this fear of the Lord, intelligence and skill becomes folly. Unless we have this worldview and heart attitude called the fear of God, we will not be able to interpret the wisdom of God correctly. The fear of the Lord must be our guide. The fear of the Lord has many dimensions. As I've already mentioned, the idea of awe. Awe of our Creator. Are you in awe of God? Then recognizing His holiness and His justice. Is that something that is part of your thinking when you think about God? And then, of course, the fear of the Lord produces a trust in Him, a childlike trust in our Heavenly Father. Do you trust your Heavenly Father? It shows itself in obeying and worshiping and serving God faithfully, the fear of the Lord. In fact, the message of Proverbs can be summed up in one truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it doesn't start with intelligence or experience or education. It starts with a right relationship with God. It's not about making smart choices or living successfully, or, as we heard this morning, dodging the calamities of life. By the way, that's not possible. It's about living rightly before God. With our hearts that trust, honor, and obey Him, come what may. We are going through so many experiences as a church, as believers. The best we can do is to be wise and to trust, honor, and obey our Lord. Every decision, every act of righteousness begins with the fear of the Lord. If we fear Him, then we know His holy character, His righteousness and His justice. And a reverent fear of God helps us to understand ourselves in the light of who God is and seeing our need of Him. Recognizing our unworthiness and, by contrast, His worthiness. But the fear of God will also seek a Savior and look for mercy. Ultimately, the fear of the Lord will lead us to Christ. Colossians 2 verse 3 says, in Christ is hidden all the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 adds, Christ is the wisdom of God. and Isaiah the prophet. In chapter 11, verse 2 says that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on Christ the Messiah, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Can you see that the fear of the Lord leads to wisdom, and wisdom leads to Jesus Christ? Christ is wisdom incarnate. So to fear God is to trust in Christ. Wisdom is to turn away from evil, and as we saw this morning, to turn to Christ. Wisdom is to follow Christ as a disciple. Ultimately, Christ is the beginning and the fulfillment of wisdom. When we say that we fear the Lord, that it is reverence, awe, and love, we are not talking about something that is cold and distant. It all comes alive in Jesus Christ, in Him. The wisdom of the Proverbs comes alive. Christ is not only our teacher, He is the way of wisdom. Oh, we will discover a lot more of that as we go through this book. Through Christ, we receive grace, guidance, and eternal life. Aren't these things wise things? Absolutely. In fact, as Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Understanding this will interpret the way that we read this book, the fear of the Lord. God willing, we will do that as we journey. But let us end this introduction with some practical application. Firstly, and I have alluded to this earlier on, throughout history, people have pursued wisdom in countless ways. It is a non-stop pursuit in every generation. That's why there are things like philosophers, writers, rulers, everyone offering wisdom, because everyone is seeking understanding and insight. Often achieved brilliance. People who have been brilliant in writing and speaking, yet they have morally completely failed. Take, for example, famous people like Ernest Hemingway. Have you ever heard of Ernest Hemingway? The 20th century American novelist and journalist who received the Nobel Prize for his contribution to the world of literature. Well, despite his literary brilliance, his personal life was marked by alcoholism, pride, and broken relationships. Going through four marriages, and lived a very unfaithful life. He lived with violence, despair, and ultimately taking his own life. Sought wisdom, but did not find it. And then there was Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the 18th century French philosopher and writer who shaped the Enlightenment. Have you ever heard of the Enlightenment? Of the 18th century, that basically said, humans can understand the world and solve all our problems with logic, not with superstition or something like religion. Well, he had a significant influence through the Enlightenment, also through modern political thinking and ideas of democracy and revolutions. Though he wrote so passionately about virtue, his private life was very inconsistent with his own ideals. He fathered 5 children by his mistress. He abandoned all of them into an orphanage. Deeply self-centered and paranoid, he alienated himself from friends and patrons. Not sure of if the word enlightenment is the right word. And lastly, there was Karl Marx. Maybe you've heard of Karl Marx, the 19th century German philosopher, economist, and also revolutionary thinker, inspiring modern-day socialism and communism. Now, despite preaching equality, he himself lived a contradictory personal life. Irresponsible with money, being an economist, dependent on others' generosity, harshly critical of anybody who disagreed with him. He fathered a child by a maid that he was not married to, refused to acknowledge that publicly. His writings also inspired, of course, later regimes of communism and socialism, causing all the drama that it did in this world, and he never lived to see it. These men were celebrated for their genius. Yet their lives were marked by brokenness, selfishness, and moral failure. Their brilliance could not save them from folly. And it didn't give them wisdom, true wisdom. So within mankind, there is much pursuit for wisdom. The question remains, where can true wisdom be found? Well, if you and I want to be wise, the purpose of this book is to show us how to be wise. It's offering to us heavenly wisdom. So the invitation of Proverbs is open to anyone. To the simple who needs prudence, to the young who needs direction, even to the seasoned and the experienced who needs guidance. None of us will ever grow or outgrow or graduate from God's classroom. We will not graduate from the school of Christ as long as we live on this earth. The question is, not do we need wisdom, but are we willing to learn? Are we teachable? Well, that's why James 1 verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given to them. If we seek wisdom, then we should ask for wisdom. God will teach us true wisdom. The Lord will help us, in spite of efforts and even with efforts, to attain wisdom and intellect. But when we ask God humbly, God is generous and He will give us wisdom. So let's pray as we journey through this book together, that the Lord will teach us this wisdom from above. By the way, almost done. The New Testament quotes Proverbs a number of times. Why is that? Well, it is to show us that the truths of Proverbs is really timeless wisdom. For example, God repays everyone according to their deeds. Romans 2 verse 6. That's taken from Proverbs 24 verse 12. Love your enemies. That biggie. Romans 12 verse 20, and it's taken from Proverbs 25 verses 22. And then the Lord disciplines those He loves. Well, we read about that in the book of Hebrews, but it's taken from the book of Proverbs. God gives grace to the humble, says James in chapter 4 and verse 6. And 1 Peter 5 verse 5, but it's taken from Proverbs 3 verse 34. And lastly, fools repeat their own sin. Well, 2 Peter 2 verse 22. But it's taken from Proverbs 26 and verse 11. Well, Proverbs 1 speak about wisdom. But did you notice there's a fool in Proverbs chapter 1? There in verse 7. Did you see the fool? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom. Why? Because they reject the fear of God, which is the very foundation of true knowledge. Wisdom begins with humility, acknowledging that God is the ultimate authority, which is something that a fool cannot do. Fools are proud. They are self-sufficient. They refuse correction, thinking they already know best. To accept wisdom is to admit that we are not in control and that God is in control, something that a proud heart will resist. So fools despise wisdom, not because it lacks value, but it confronts their pride. It exposes their sin. It calls them to submit to God. They prefer independence over obedience, opinion over truth, and comfort over correction. In short, they reject wisdom because they reject the fear of the Lord. And without that, they cannot even begin to be wise. To be honest, have we not all been fools at some point or another in our lives? But the good news is that there is someone who invites fools to come and learn from him. He is gentle and he is patient with stubborn hearts. He is able to turn folly into wisdom. If we want true wisdom, the kind that lasts, then we need the greater Solomon, whose name is, I heard it whispered, Jesus is the greater Solomon. That's what the scriptures teach us. But unlike Solomon, whose wisdom was great yet limited, Christ is wisdom itself, offering life and guidance and forgiveness to all those who trust in Him. To truly fear God, therefore, is to love, to serve, to obey Christ, who is the living wisdom of God. In Him, wisdom is no longer knowledge or words. It becomes reality, transforming our hearts into insight, righteousness, and the gift of eternal life. Now that we have begun with the beginning of wisdom, let us pray that God will take us on this journey further. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are all wise and you offer wisdom to us. And Lord, for those of us who have obtained some wisdom, for those who are of us who lack wisdom, you have more wisdom. And we pray, dear Lord, that each one of us will receive this from your good hand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.